How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick. And as always, I'm joined by my good buddy, Ronald. Ronnie, how's it going over there?
No, well, and you, Nicholas?
Yeah, no lacquer, man. I had a stupid weekend. I think you know a little bit about it already, but I said last week I was going to take Friday off. I should not have taken Friday off. I should have gone to the office and done some bloody work because one...
For a change.
For a change, you know, for a change. So one, somehow I managed to snap my cast iron braai grid in half. Yeah, that happened. I don't know how.
Yeah, well, if you brown it 1,050,000 times, things like that are going to happen.
True. It has done its duty over the years. Hey?
Yeah.
Then the dumbest thing I've ever done was decide to hang a shelf in the shower. I think it was one of the dumbest things I've ever done. So I wanted to hang a shelf in the shower. You know, like one of those racks that you can put your shampoo and your soap and whatnot on, hey, Ronnie?
It's called a shower caddy.
A shower caddy. There we go. So Nick looks at the shower wall. To the right is the tap. And then above it is the shower head. So I'm like, there's no reason for there to be pipes on the left-hand side. No, Nick goes there, drill in hand, smack, bang. I don't think I could have hit that water pipe any more square, hey, Ronald.
Yeah, it actually looked like a perfect hole in that pipe. I thought that was a deliberate move.
Yeah, you would have sworn it was intentional, but it wasn't. Friday afternoon, emergency plumber, a little bit chaotic to try and sort that out ahead of a long weekend, eh?
So what did they end up doing? Did they have to replace the tiles?
Yeah, so first they whacked the tiles out of the wall to get to the pipe, and then they soldered like another piece of pipe around it. And then, you know, it's at my grandfather's place, so I was worried about the tiles. I mean, that place was built 28, 29 years ago. But no, Opa, if you're listening to this, well done. You kept the tiles that we need for that bathroom, so we're going to be able to repair it at least, which is great.
Good thinking, forward thinking.
And you, Ronnie, what did you get up to this weekend over in España?
No, not too much. Not too much. I cleaned the flat, cleaned my apartment a little bit, so I had nothing too exciting. The one thing I did do that was a focus for me over the weekend was to get everything sorted technologically wise. I know that there are a bunch of people that sent through messages to the Punter team. They helped me out quite a bit with how I could end up watching Chasing the Sun. And so I set all of that up. And a couple of people out, well, they were incredibly helpful. Some people even sent through their private details. So, you know, WhatsApp said, tell Ronnie to chat to me and we'll figure something out. So, yeah, I didn't end up doing that, but a lot of their messages did help me figure out how I was going to watch Chasing the Sun. So to every single person that sent a message, bloody well, thanks.
Yeah, so actually, I just want to give a shout out because there we did say that we would send some punted merch to these guys, Ronnie. So I know that they reached out and Ashton Bossman, you were one of them, Jay Cowie, the other. I believe you guys are both overseas based on how you communicated that you also use a VPN. If you guys are in South Africa or if you have addresses in South Africa that I can send some Mayfoktcho merch to, please, please just pop me those details and I will gladly send you guys some stuff. So you were able to get it right, Ronnie.
Yeah, it worked. It worked beautifully. So thanks to everybody.
There we go. So that means ultimately you were able to watch Chasing the Sun too. Now, initial thoughts, Ronnie?
Yeah, are we allowed to spoil it for those that haven't watched it by now or? Maybe we could just say, I thought the opening scene where Rassie calls them all a bunch of liars is a very powerful opening scene.
So I actually found that quite entertaining. And I think all the South Africans are like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's go, Borka. And then I see now spatterings all over social media, the Irish. This would never fit in the Irish changing room. You know what, Ronnie? The World Cup trophy also doesn't fit in the Irish changing room. So...
You know, that's why they never won, because they don't get called out.
And I thought it was epic. I cannot wait to see next week's episode, which I'm assuming is going to be the build-up and inclusion of the Irish test at the World Cup.
Yeah, perhaps I would have liked to have seen the build-up to the World Cup. I think they jumped right into the World Cup with the first game against Scotland. So I would have liked to maybe see, or hopefully at some point they reference that test match where we first deployed the 7-1 split against the All Blacks at Twickenham. I would maybe have liked to see something about that. But look, maybe they refer back to it at some point.
Yeah, maybe ahead of the final, they go back and say, look, we deployed it here because we knew that we were going to face them in the final and meet the 7-1.
Yeah, we're going to wait for a seat to come up where Rassie says, you know, in 8 weeks' time, we're going to be sitting here facing the All Blacks, predicting it ahead of time. So maybe you're right.
Yeah, let's see. Stranger things have happened, eh, Ronald? Mm. Talking about stranger things, as a Sharks fan, you're no longer one of us.
Wow.
We are not at the bottom of the log anymore. Thank you. We are 14th.
Yeah, third from the bottom or whatever it is. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. What an incredible game. And then not just them, all South African teams this weekend.
Yeah, the clean sweep, hey? The South African clean sweep. Ronnie,
we feel good, eh?
Let's take a look then at the URC. So I am currently 169th in the URC. You are in 12th position. So
I'm so happy that you entered it into the agenda this week and that you didn't make me go and find my position on the log. I suppose that's because I'm on page one. Is that right?
I don't know, Ronnie. Someone told me that and I thought, you know, I'll be nice. It's impressive, though, that you're so close to the top 10. But everybody listening, please don't let him get into the top 10. I will never hear the end of it, nor will any of you listening on this podcast.
You know what it has been? And regretfully, it's because I turned on my team, the Sharks, and I started calling calls against them. Because for you, you're still thinking with your heart rather than your head when you make your Super Brew calls. And you backed the Sharks for a little bit too long. And that's perhaps why you're 178th or whatever it is.
Ronnie, you know, the funny thing is I did even pick Ulster to win this weekend.
They turned on you.
So, Ronnie, first up on Friday night, we had Ospreys hosting Munster. Munster getting a good 27-17 point win there in the fight for playoff spots. Very important for Munster to get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then over to Glasgow Warriors. They hosted Cardiff and they won that game 17-13. However, they were 13-0 down at halftime, Ronnie. So what a comeback from them both defensively and on their attack.
They also probably got called liars at halftime and went out there and defended like absolute machines, you know, keeping Cardiff from scoring again in the second half.
Yep. So well done to the Warriors. True to their name, in fact. Then, Ronnie, the big one. Down in Durban, at Kings Park, Sharks playing host to the men from Ulster. Good old Stephen Kitsoff making an appearance for Ulster there. Sharks deploying most of their Springboks as well in this test. Vincent Koch, he returned from injury for the first time since the World Cup. Bongi was there, Ox, Irban, Lucanio, Mapimps. You know, the full set were out on display. Good win for them, Ronnie. Did you expect it?
I did not expect it, absolutely. You know, like you, I also backed Ulster, unfortunately. But yeah, it makes me so happy in my heart just to see the Sharks, you know, get that win. I mean, it must have been difficult for Ulster men to come to Durban and play in that humidity. Sure, but the Sharks, I thought it was a very good performance from them. And, you know, agreed. Vincent Koch and that front row and the front row that we have on the bench. Oh, incredible.
No, absolutely incredible. So, I mean, the Sharks were forced into a bit of an early change on the field. George Cronier went down very early. That forced them into moving Pepsi back to eighth man. And then Labuschagne coming on at seven. But that loose trio of the Sharks really worked well. They put a lot of pressure on Ulster. And after time, the backs started to use that pressure to their advantage. Siamasuku really impressing me at 10, Ronnie. What have you thought of it so far?
You know, obviously, we've been quite negative about the Sharks. And especially, we've always said that there's something not quite lacquer at 10. But Siamasuku seems to be, you know, fitting the part quite well. And I agree, he's looking the part.
He's actually bringing some attacking shape to that back line. And I read with bated breath yesterday that Montpellier no longer wants Kerwin Bosch. And I'm terrified he's going to stay in Durban for another 2 years.
I know, man. Oh, look, a little bit of depth. His experience, he's one of the top trials point scorers for the Sharks, if he's not third on the all-time point scoring list. So look, he's got invaluable experience that he can pass on to Sia.
Yeah, well, we've even got more fly halves doing duty down in Durban and Jordan Hendrickser making the move as well. So plenty of competition for the 10 jersey, especially next season. Ronnie, then a bit of handbags. Saw two players get sent off in this game. James Hume and Vincent Chituka sent off for a bit of bashing after the whistle. It's not often you see the ref resort to a card in those situations.
Yeah, and perhaps it's something that should come out a little bit sooner these days. You know, it is a contact sport. You know, sometimes the tempers flare. Sometimes the guys get a little bit of a rush of blood to their head. But yeah, maybe just to keep things in order, maybe the ref should bring out the cards a little bit sooner. Who knows? I know that's probably people are going to complain then that there's too many cards, but you know, you have to keep order. You have to respect the ref.
Absolutely true, Ronnie. So Sharks, you mentioned it there, Vincent Koch and Ox in chair coming off the bench in this one. And our scrum decimated Ulster in the second half. It really was a power showing. There's even videos going around now of Ox scrumming against Ulster pack and saying, did you hear that pop? Like someone's dislocating a hip.
Honestly, if I scrummed against Ox, I'd also pop 150 joints.
Yeah, salads don't win scrums, as the big man would say. Ronnie, Jonathan Lang, long-time listener of the pod, shout out to you, Jono, but you asked us about Ulster's second try. So I struggled a bit to get a good angle as the highlights didn't have all of the views that the TMO would have seen live in the match. But you basically pointed out that there was a hand from the Ulster player on the ground, which knocked the ball out of the ruck, and then they picked it up and scored, and the TMO didn't notice it. So did you have a look at that footage, Ronnie?
I did. I'm interested to hear what you say. I've got an opinion myself.
You know, so I'm not going to talk about this instance in specificity. I'm going to leave that to you. But what annoys me is where the TMO is called in and the TMO gets involved. When the TMO gets it wrong, it's really frustrating. I can understand the referee seeing it in live speed, making a wrong decision. But when you're now going to stop a game, you're going to bring the TMO in who has the time and has the camera angles. It really is frustrating when things like that slip through the cracks.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of a different opinion, and we could talk about the World Cup final, maybe just bring that up. You know, where the rule is that the TMO can only go back a certain number of phases, and that's what he can review. And then we talk about, you know, what happened when Adi Sevilla knocked the ball on and when the try wasn't allowed. But, you know, and technically, you can't go back that far, that many phases. And Wayne Barnes essentially said in the Whistleblowers documentary, you know, common sense must prevail. You know, you've got to be a bit sensible about these things. There's always, if you're going to look at something in slow motion and in incredible detail, you're going to find 500 things that were wrong. So I looked at that and I went in with a bit of bias, of course, interviewing it, but I ultimately want to say that yes, if you look at it hard enough, you could possibly say that the arm did brush the ball out, but was it intentional? I don't know. Was it a bit of gamesmanship? I don't know. But you're always going to find something wrong. So I would still, even though the ball potentially and most likely was pushed out of the ruck by an Ulster hand, it's possibly, you know, let's continue with the ball came out naturally. The ball just popped out of the ruck naturally. And let's not give too much thought, because if we really have to scrutinize every single, you know, flailing limb in at every place in the game, you know, then we're just going to end up watching the game through the eyes of the TMO.
No, I definitely agree with you, Ronnie, there. But what I'm saying is when the decision has been made to bring the TMO in, then you must look at it in sufficient detail. If you're going to go with common sense, then the ref must make that call on pitch, take responsibility for making the call, and that's that. But if you're going to stop it and you're going to get the TMO involved, then you've got to get it right.
Well, we know in rugby that it all comes down to what the question is that's asked by the referee. You know, is there any reason I cannot award the try? Or is there a conclusive evidence to award the try? You know, it all comes down to that. So, and I quite enjoy that about rugby. I don't know about you. It's always nice to, you know, it's not just try, no try. You know, it's what did the referee specifically ask? It's
true. It adds that level of technicality to it, which is quite lacquer for the diehard fans, definitely. Ronnie, I think we also need to give a huge shout out to one of the guys we've had on the show with us, Ethan Hooker. He jammed a 12 this weekend for the Sharks and was awarded man of the match. So Ethan, well done.
He's quick. Yeah. So quick as well. Well, that's all. You know, he's a big boy and he can run really hard. So yeah, well done.
Yeah, lack a try off a pimpy chip kick. So great. Well done, Ethan. Very, very well done. Ronnie, Springboks, are they making the difference to the Sharks' cause now? Or is it just the fact that they've gone backwards so many times, you can only go forward now?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter, right? But you can't really claim the Springboks. They've been there. They've been there now for, you know, some time now, and they haven't been performing. So one game, one good result in favor of the Sharks. You know, look, we hope, we really do, as South Africans, we hope that the Sharks continue playing well and that the Springboks have a positive impact on their performance. But it's too early to say anything.
True. Ronnie, then we go over back to Wales. Scarlets getting a 16 points to 13 win over Benetton. I think Benetton's still struggling as they miss their international players. And then down to Cape Town. It was a big game down there with the Stormers playing host to Edinburgh. And Stormers getting a 43-21 point win. What did you think of that one, Ronald?
I hate the Stormers, but geez, it must be incredible to be a Stormers fan. And, you know, they play so well.
Yeah, the Stormers are doing well. They're back in playoff contention after this win. But Edinburgh losing Bofelli just before kickoff, he had a back spasm and was withdrawn. And they probably could have used his attacking prowess at fullback as well as his kicking game, because we know he's one of the game's top kickers. And with the Stormers kicker struggling, he may have been a point of difference. But what an occasion, Ronnie. Big Frans Malherbe returned to the field. His first game back since the World Cup final. The big man earned a proper rest. And great to see him back out there, hey?
Yeah, it's always I enjoy watching props, though, right? Like, it's a part of it's a sport. That's why we really love rugby, because it's made for all shapes and sizes. And Big Frans Malherbe, you know, what a solid player. So it's always fun to see him.
Yeah,
you know, playing again.
It doesn't come in a bigger shape or a bigger size than big old Frans, because he is a mountain, and to move that man, not an easy task, eh, Ronald?
No.
Ronnie, so the Stormers, as I mentioned, they're back in playoff contention, moving to fifth on the log, which is great from them. Suleiman Hartzenberg scoring a hat-trick in that game, as well as doubles for Ivan Roos and Leland Zas. Lots of tries. Lots and lots of tries.
Exciting tries, right? So, yeah, fantastic to see.
Something we haven't spoken about this year, and we've actually neglected it a little bit, right?
No, don't say it. Don't bring it up.
What was I going to bring up?
But say it, and then I'm going to tell you, you shouldn't have brought it up.
I'm going to bring up the quality of the Cape Town pitch now.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to talk about Marty's kicking.
No. I was going to say, last year we kept hating on that Cape Town pitch. This year it's been relayed and it's holding up very nicely underfoot.
Yeah, fantastic. So obviously somebody decided it was time and they pulled the plaster and they did it and they fixed the pitch, and I agreed. So the next Springbok test match at Greenpoint is going to be fantastic.
Absolutely is. That's going to be against the All Blacks. But then, Ronnie, onto the topic of Marnie, since you bring him up. He was having some kicking troubles this weekend. Did you see the one they smacked it off the left upright, off the crossbar, and then over?
Yeah, they should award bonus points for that, for something so magical.
Yeah, imagine he'd also hit the right pole and then over. That would have been epic.
Right. It would have been epic, right?
It really, really would have. And then I also thought Damian Willems had a really great game at fullback. He looks to be in scintillating form, and it's ridiculous when you remember how young Damian still is, and he's got two World Cup trophies to his name.
Yeah, maybe even a third one then. Later on.
Yeah, and then we got some glimpses of young Yuri Mathi under Marnie's tutelage. He's the Stormers' second fly half, Kate Volhoeter having moved up to the Lions. I thought he showed some glimpses of being quite a decent composed 10.
Yeah, it really sucks that the Stormers actually have such a strong team, such depth in a lot of key positions. And I agree, but we lack it being a Stormers fan, because you have some exciting players, you know, coming through the ranks.
Yeah, and Wandisile Simelane is another one we deserve to mention, because he was not doing so well at the Bulls after moving there from the Lions, but he was on fire for the Stormers this weekend.
Then, Nick, onto what I deem to be the game of the weekend. Lions doing what 9 previous South African teams have been unable to do and beat Connacht in at their home ground. And they didn't just do so with 15 men on the pitch, they did so with 14 men on the pitch for 65 minutes. And Tlhabo Kanye getting his red card for something that, you know, some people will say is a bit of a dubious red card and sending off.
So can I just stop you here and say that I really love saying this Oak's name? Tlhabo Kanye.
Tlhabo Kanye.
It is
Tlhabo Kanye.
The commentator's dream of names. It is absolutely perfect. Do you think it was a red card, Ronnie? I watched it again
in
preparation for tonight, and I agree he doesn't duck enough as the tackler. But on the other hand, the Connacht player was ducking a fair amount. And it wasn't, for me, full shoulder-to-head contact. I think a yellow card would have been sufficient. What do you think, Ronnie?
No, I think if you haven't realized by now that the refs are a little bit more pedantic when it comes to head contact, and that you're more likely to get red cards for something that you think is perhaps not a red card, you know, then you haven't been paying attention. Because the reality is, you make head contact, you will be very lucky if it's not a red card. Yeah. So I think with that said, the defenders need to go, you know, they need to work really, really hard to get really low. Or tackle in such a way that they are not going to make direct head contact to the neck and head.
True. It's like Rossi says, you can coach the players not to tackle like that. And you very rarely see the box giving away cards for something like that. So
it's definitely not intentional. Is not sanction worthy, in my opinion. A red card will suffice. And I think with the introduction, potentially at some point of a 20-minute red card, you know, we won't be as upset about this. But a point I want to make on this is for 65 minutes, the Lions played with 14 men and they won a game. They won against Connacht and a place where South African teams have not been successful on 9 previous occasions. So you can still win with 14 men on the field. You can't complain about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we've spoken about a few times, Ronnie, where a team loses a player and they come together and they really put on one hell of a performance. They step it up. We've had it where they completely collapse, where the other team takes the advantage. But bloody well done to the Lions. And not only is it the first time a South African team has won in the URC, Ronnie, but the last South African team to win there was Jake White with a touring box side in 07 ahead of the World Cup that year.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Lions are playing exceptionally well. And, you know, that you can see that they're playing for each other. There's not, you know, a lot of the other teams have got these big name players, and you see the Lions, they play for each other a lot more. And so, you know, they're putting together some pretty good, you know, they're playing some really good and enjoyable rugby at the moment. But it's not just the team that's working really well together. The Lucies are also playing incredibly well. The Lions Lucies with 22 turnovers in that match. And that, you could argue, that was what won it for the Lions in the end.
Yeah, that's a hellishly impressive stat. And that Frankie Horn is looking deadly, hey, Ron. I'd like to see him play that Wales warm-up game.
Yeah, for some reason, the Lions just producing some incredible, you know, players that nobody expected. They come out of the woodwork that, you know, no one's ever considered. And then there are these incredible players like Frankie Horn, exactly. Oh. And not just him, Edville von Omava playing exceptionally well, incredibly fast and agile on his feet. So that's fantastic to see.
Yeah, he's in the mold of what's becoming the typical South African winger.
Yeah, absolutely. And so lastly, to perhaps close that one out, you know, that win by the Lions puts him in the top half of the URC log. So they've relegated Connacht to ninth on the log and usurped them and put themselves at eighth. And that's where you need to be in this. Once we get now that we're moving into the business end of the URC competition.
Ronnie, while we're on the Joburg-based team, I think it's a perfect moment to give a massive shout out to Jeppy Boys. I don't know if you saw this, but they beat Grey Bloom. First time in 120-something years that has happened. Wow. So very, very well done to Jeppy on a massive, massive win against easily South Africa's best rugby school.
Definitely. Well done, Jeppy.
Ronnie, then over to Zebre. They went down in dramatic fashion, 7-31 against Leinster. Leinster closing in on that top spot, having it secured. If they beat the Bulls this coming weekend, it's going to be theirs to keep. 4 points clear of the Bulls, whereas if the Bulls win, it'll see them take top spot. But it sets up a titanic clash for the weekend, that's for damn sure.
That's for damn sure.
And I think it's also impressive because they're missing 90% of their team who was playing for Ireland in the Six Nations.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've always said less of the team to beat. So their second team is better than most teams' first team. So, yeah. Then we've got the Dragons versus the Bulls. So my adoptive team, the Bulls, you know, 31-10. Fantastic to see. It must be very difficult for these European teams to come down. You know, it's one thing to go and play down in Durban in the humidity, but it's a whole different story to come up to Pretoria and play at the altitude and have your lungs burn, sucking for air. But fantastic to see the Bulls, you know, securing a bonus point. And like you said, you know, all the way up to second on the log, only a handful of points behind Leinster. So, well done, Bulls. You know, for me, the Bulls team, very exciting. You know, it's not just the back three, it's back four, back five. You know, a whole bunch of their backline players, so exciting with Kane and Moody playing at 13. Yes, honestly, that's the future of Springbok 13, in my opinion. And then, you know, you've got Curtly Orrens on the outside and Vili Leroux linking up with absolutely bloody anyone. And it's not just that. It's these incredible moves that you're seeing and confidence from the back players. You know, we saw Vili Leroux, you know, a cross kick and a little bit of a switch. I see you put here in the agenda a slick little move where there was a little bit of a scissor and behind the back pass, setting up a try. So that was fantastic to see from Billy. And yeah, I think perhaps the question mark, Chris Smith, you know, where is he in the flower of race? How does he fit in?
You know, I think he's kicking very, very well, but I don't feel like he imposes himself on a game. You know, he's not the game changer like Marnie is or Andre is. So I think if he wants to take on that role, got a lot of work to put into his game to get into the Springbok reckoning.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one, right? Because we don't exactly have 10 flower halves for Springbok, right? So, you know, Chris Smith's probably be fourth on the list, if, you know, if that low. So, but yes, it is difficult to get into and crack it, get into the top 1-2 place in the running for Springbok fly off.
I just also want to go back to Vili quickly, Ronnie, because would I be out of place to say Vili is the best signing of any South African team over the last 2-3 years? Because what he's brought to the Bulls has really upped their game. That calmness that he's brought, that attacking flair that he's brought, has really set the Bulls apart this season.
You know, we've watched countless videos now, and the original Chasing the Sun, where we all found out about what Vili did went through to the World Cup. And, you know, his role as being that guy that sets up and assists and makes the last pass before the try, I couldn't agree. If I had him on my team, I'd feel very comfortable, very relaxed with what's happening on the outside there. And like I said, the Bulls' back line is so exciting. The back three especially. And now with Kanan Moody playing 13. Yes, it's electrifying.
Yeah, what did you make of Kanan at 13? I quite like it. I've liked it ever since we demolished the All Blacks at Twickenham with him at 13.
When he scored that try that was disallowed.
Yeah, look,
I'm all for it as well. You know, look, I'm just not going to be there forever. And it's about time that we, you know, Kanan's young, right? He could be the center for the next 10 years, for the next two World Cups.
Kanan and Andre is the next World Cup center pairing.
Kanan and Andre, right?
Sharks, so what is that setup that it used to be? Addie Jacobs and Vaynant Ulufia or Waylon Murray, Sharks Bulls trading off centers for the box. Remember that?
Yeah, David Barry also in the mix there.
Yeah. Ronnie, then quickly just to touch on Super Rugby again, give them a little shit over that side of the pond. Fijian Drua, well done. We've got a few Fijian listeners, you guys know. So well done to you guys. 39-36 point win over the Waratahs. Very well done for the Drua.
Yeah, it was only just the other day, a couple of years ago, where you wouldn't back Fijian Drua at all. They'd be the whipping boys of the competition. And now they're winning back to back to back. And it's incredible to see.
And especially if you compare them to previous new entrants into this competition, like the Sunwolves, who really struggled for anything in the competition. They did beat the Blue Bulls though, Ronnie. Anyway, that's on top of the Bulls losing to the Griffins. But
no, that's a long time ago. We can kind of let that go.
So then also the Blues getting a big victory, 26 points to 6 over the Crusaders, extending the Crusaders' losing streak to 5.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. They really miss Scott Robinson.
Yeah. And then lastly from Super Rugby, Ronnie, Western Force getting a 40 points to 31 point win over the Reds. I was expecting the Reds to take this one. They've been sort of the form Aussie side so far. But yeah, well done to the Force.
Yeah, I agree. Looks like the Toyota Cup playing against the Cheetahs in 4 matches, you know, it's prepped them well for the Super Rugby.
Absolutely has. Ronnie, then I think it's time we take a bit of a look at the upcoming URC action this weekend. Some big games on the cards. As we've said, you know, we're heading towards the playoff stages now, so wins are very, very vital. The first up, Friday night, is a banger. In Ireland, Leinster playing host to the Bulls, 1-2. What are you predicting in that one, Ronald?
Well, we have to back the Bulls now, obviously, right? So we're gonna back them to get 4 points out of this, at least 4 points, hopefully 5.
So there's a lot of talk that Leinster is going to deploy a full strength team for the first time now with the Irish players coming back, and I actually am going to predict that works in the Bulls' favor. They're going to be a little disjointed, and the Bulls are going to take telling victory there. They have done it before.
You know, I'd agree with you there, but let's just keep in mind that the large contingency of Leinster rugby players played together at Leinster and both in the Irish team. So they'll be used to each other.
True as well. Then a spicy encounter down at King's Park in Durban, Ronnie, as the Sharks play host to Edinburgh, who are now coached by former Sharks head coach Sean Everett, who got the boot.
Right, so you're going to make a comment about the South African coaches a little bit later, but yes. So let's see. Maybe Sean Everett can we get one back over the Sharks for having let him go. But yeah, look, I'm feeling good. I'm back. I back the Hollywood bet sharks.
Yeah, I was just about to say, please don't send us back to the bottom of the log. We only just got off. The next game then, straight after that one, the Ospreys playing host to the Lions. I'm backing the Lions for a win here. They got one on the road. They've got some momentum. I'm keen to see what the boys can dish out.
You can't go and beat Connacht and then lose to the Ospreys.
Yeah, absolutely not. That's just not how it works, hey, Ronnie. Then last one from the South African perspective is the Stormers playing host to Ulster. This is going to be a cracking game because it's going to see Stephen Kitsoff face off with Frans Malherbe. Those two have trained together at the Stormers, scrumming against each other for 14 years, Ronald. It is going to be an epic battle between the two Springboks starting props.
Right, and Ulster will have been in the country already for a week, having played the Sharks, so they might be a little bit acclimatized to the South African weather. So, yo, this could be a cracker game.
Yeah,
but come on, Stormers.
Kitsy would have had a chance to get some biltong power back in the engine there, so he'll also be fit and firing for this clash. Ronnie, that's the South African action in the URC this week, but a lot of other news and things going on at the moment. I think the first one we should touch on is possibly the Currie Cup drama. Have you seen what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate, but look, it has to go. It has to happen.
So it looks like the Currie Cup might actually be cancelled this year because they want to move this into the June-July window when the guys would traditionally be in the off-season, and now they're going to force them to play. It would make it a 20-month-long season for the guys. And the players, my players, have come up and taken it to arbitration. They don't want this acceptable. And if they can't come to a solution, the tournament might miss this year.
Yeah, that'll be a little bit unfortunate, but look, I completely understand it, though. We've spoken about how much rugby these guys are playing, and it's a lot.
It really, really is. Ronnie, then talking about playing a lot of rugby, that's what Saracens did this weekend when they dominated Harlequins 52-7. I don't think that was a score anyone was predicting, and that's why I put it in here. That is an absolute routing by Saris.
Yeah, for sure. So well done to Saris. I mean, it's a team I love to hate.
Yeah, then just looking over to some of the Springbok stalwarts, Dion Fourie remains sidelined with an injury to his ribs. He hasn't played since the Bulls game against the Stormers a few weeks ago. Cheslin Colby, however, made his return this weekend. I don't know if you saw the highlights, but he scored two tries, Ronnie. One from within the 22 and then a long ranger from his own 22. So well done, Chesley. Great to have you back.
Let's not pretend that that's any surprise, though. Cheslin can score from anywhere at any time. He can be injured for 3 years and come back and score a long range try. Yeah. So no surprise.
He could step anyone inside an elevator. Then, Ronnie, Danny Kerr, he's hung up his boots for England, the scrum half playing 101 test caps. So cheers to a stalwart of the game. I'm definitely going to miss seeing him play on the international stage.
Yeah, he's been a little bit unlucky. In the England camp, he wasn't favoured by Eddie Jones. But look, he's, 101 caps. It's not easy, and he stuck it out, and he's still got 101 caps, which is incredible to see.
Then, Ronnie, Finn Russell. So we're big fans of Finn on this show, but the man comes out and scores his first ever drop goal in his career this weekend.
I was surprised when I heard that. I did not know that he's... What? Honestly, that's so surprising.
Yep, it is. Dan Carter is probably the only other one that has less than 5 to his name in his career.
Really? No, you're also giving me something. We've got to go research those stats.
Yeah, Dan Carter is very rare. The All Blacks rarely went for the drop goal in his time with Richie McCaw and all of them. But Ronnie, Matthew Reynell also retiring after the July internationals. That's the third big referee we'll have lost after the World Cup, with Yaku and Wayne Barnes already bowing out.
Yeah, look, it's a little bit unfortunate. Look, we've never been fans of the French referees, right? I don't know about you, but, you know, we've complained about them a lot. But yeah, this is not nice to see these big name players retiring out. And, I don't even know the names of the new up and coming refs.
Yeah, that's also the problem. You need that experience. But we've got 4 years to build it ahead of the next World Cup. Then, Ronnie, Louis Rees-Zammit, he seems to be doing pretty well in the NFL recruitment stage. He's got 3 offers on the table currently to join the NFL sides. So well done. Bold move. It looks like it's paying off at the moment.
Not that I know much about the NFL, but by all means, just, go do your thing, and hopefully we'll see him back and playing rugby not too distant future.
Yeah, well, if he comes back and you believe Georgia, Wales might not be in the Six Nations. Did you see Georgia called out Wales for a test in the July window? Basically a relegation fixture that they're putting on to say, hey, take notice, we won the European Rugby Championship. We won in for the Six Nations. And well done to Georgia on the bold call.
Yeah, well done.
Ronnie, the last one, and this is one that I think we need to be typical cocky South Africans for.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this one, honestly, because when I saw this, I didn't believe it. This is an incredible, incredible stat that you picked up there.
So 16 teams in the URC competition, the top eight go through to the playoff stages. Six of the top eight sides are coached by South Africans, Ronnie. Can you bloody believe it?
Yeah, a little bit of an asterisk next to Ninaba, sure, but he's definitely got an influence, and you're absolutely right. 75% of the top eight are coached in some way, shape, or form by South Africans.
Yeah, so you've obviously got the Bulls, the Stormers, and the Lions coached by Jake Dobbo and Cash Van Rooyen. But then you've got Franco Smith leading the charge for Glasgow, former Sharks coach Sean Everett leading it for Edinburgh. You've got Jacques Ninaba, who stepped in and taken over the coaching role from Stuart Lancaster at Leinster. And yeah, I think that says quite a lot, Ronnie.
Yes, this gives us license to brag a bit, right? I mean, I can go be obnoxious on Reddit and post this, can I?
Yeah, you can. I give you full permission, my boy.
Thank you.
Lastly, Ronnie, and this was a player we should have mentioned under the Bulls game, but the May Fokchom moment of the week goes to Mpilo Gumede for that excellent try. Vili Leroux cross kick, a little switcheroo scissor move, and Gumede over in the corner for an excellent try for the Blue Bulls this weekend. Gotta love it.
Got to love it. And did you ever pull off something magical like that in your day?
Absolutely. I kicked it and I was there for the scissor to score it.
No, I don't believe you.
That's fine. Pictures, or I don't believe you, Ronnie. Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. My Fokchom, that was luck.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.